Who's the only one here who knows the illegal ninja moves from the government?
Chris.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
Ben.
Who would steal 30 bag lunches?
Danny.
Oh, you guys like to tell jokes and giggle and kid around, huh? Giggling like a bunch of young boys in the schoolyard.
Shoddy Radio.
So tonight we have a special guest for everybody. We have a Denmark sensation, Keith Lowell Jensen. That joke is only funny to people who were listening before we started recording.
Yes, well, I love that call.
I didn't laugh. I don't know.
And only one of those people even pretended to laugh because he just met me. And it's Keith Lowell Jensen. I don't know if I mentioned that name.
Atheistcomedian.com or rockass.net.
Who is a touring comedian and notably an atheist comedian. Is that right, Keith?
Yes, that is correct. I still don't believe in God.
You were on a stand-up tour that was basically a coalition of different religious comedians combined.
Yeah. Me and a Hindu friend of mine put together a show called the Coexist Comedy Tour. It's funny because we were cracking each other up backstage doing like the comedian's equivalent of a debate, which is basically just capping on each other's, you know, sacred beliefs. and both of us thought, man, that was way more fun than anything we said on stage, you know? And it's just funny because this guy, Larry Brand, who was making a film with us, he was saying it's great that we're the most politically correct tour ever. And yet you take any one of our acts and isolate it from the others, and it's like the most politically incorrect thing you've ever seen. You know, it's like a guy up there making fun of Muslims and making fun of Hindus. And maybe, you know, you stick it in a tour with a Hindu and a Muslim and a Jew and a Christian and a Buddhist. And all of a sudden it's like, wow, he's so nice.
Right. You know? Wow, that's a great idea.
They're savaging each other for world peace. It's beautiful.
That's the only reason we added Ben to the podcast, so we could make a lot more chink jokes.
You know, it's funny. When I was growing up, my dad's best friends were Art and Harold, a Mexican guy and a black guy. And they had this guy, Chang, that used to hang out with them. And Chang never had a lot in common with them. And I never really got where Chang fit in. And then I realized that was it. It was like there were just a few jokes they weren't able to tell without him. You know? No, they needed Chang to complete the set, to have a full set there.
So was Chang Irish?
Yes. Because everybody needs to make those Irish jokes.
But during the Coexist Comedy Tour, did anybody's set kind of change the way anybody else felt about their own religion?
I'm very reluctant to answer that one. Because I don't want to get the blame, you know, for condemning anyone to eternal hellfire.
That's okay. We have 7 listeners.
Yeah, you're saying that you converted some people?
No, I didn't convert anyone or deconvert anyone or anything of the sort. But here's what happened: our Christian comedian at the time was John Ross, and John had been a really hardcore Christian at times. He actually played in a couple bands, Anguish Unsaid and Like David.
Oh yeah, their new album's awesome.
They're hardcore.
One of those bands, I don't know which one actually, because I'm not really into the Christian music scene, but one of them was really quite big. He played large venues and blah, blah, blah. So he was our Christian comedian, but then he started having some doubts. And he asked me for some reading material. And I was in this funny position because, you know, I gave him like some Samuel Harris and some Nietzsche. Uh-huh. I say it that way so it rhymes with peachy. I started feeling like if somebody comes to you and they tell you that they complain about their girlfriend and like maybe you don't really like her, you can't go like, oh yeah, drop that bitch, because you're gonna feel really awkward later at their wedding.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah,
that's a great
John
analogy.
Comes to me and he's like, oh, Jesus is kind of letting me down, and I was like, I didn't know if Jesus and him were gonna break up for good or maybe they were gonna get back together. They just wanted to see each other. for a while, you know.
So, like, Jesus
but
is cool.
Also, along with all that stuff, I gave him some C.S. Lewis to read.
You know, it's hard to fuck just one God.
So, did you just lose one of your 7 listeners? For that?
I want to at least blow Buddha.
I heard Prince Siddhartha Gautama would have been quite an attractive, you know. I'd go with him. One of the later, like, fat Buddhas.
I'd pick the chick with all the hands and invite some friends over.
I don't think she was a Buddha.
I'm pretty sure she was.
Oh, whatever. She seemed cool.
But she seemed cool. Yeah. But, yeah, so John converted. I'll steal a joke from him real quick. See, I'm crediting to him, so okay. It's not theft. That's the way it works. But he said that he read the Samuel Harris book while sitting on the toilet, and that he was then going to write a book called Losing Your Religion in Five Shits or Less. But I love Sam Harris because he basically just writes like pamphlets, you know?
Yeah.
I once said he was the atheist Thomas Paine, but then I realized Thomas Paine is kind of the atheist Thomas Paine. But yeah, he's great. So yeah, John is no longer a Christian. I don't really like to take the blame for that. John deconverted himself. Samuel Harris, all I did was give him a book.
That's a tough time when you deconvert.
Yeah, Chris went through the deconversion process.
It's
so did I.
Pretty scary.
Yeah. How old were you, Chris?
How old was I at the time?
No, just at any random point in your life.
How old am I?
I'm of your choice.
How old were you? I've been every age before 30.
Everything from 1 to 29. Do we get into months? Well, it's hard to say because it was several slow stages. It started when I was a kid, but I guess I didn't really drop the whole Jesus thing until I was in my teens, late teens.
That still blows my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was probably about 14 or 15 when it started. But yeah, the like religious nightmares and
it sounds
guilt.
Like we're talking about puberty.
Did I get my pubes and lose religion at the same time? There's got to be some analogy in there.
Really?
I'm not going to go looking for it, though. I'm going to leave it alone. But yeah, it can be really difficult. To be honest, it seemed like it was surprisingly easy for John. I don't know if it's because he was an adult or what, but I thought it might be harder for him as a guy with three kids and a wife, and I assumed she was very religious. And
Did his act change? I mean, did this happen on the tour and throughout the tour or after the tour?
No, him and the tour were getting ready to part ways anyway.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't really, that wasn't a big issue. I don't know. It's weird to me, like people's attitude about religion. Like, I think part of the reason that I actually call myself an atheist, where there's a lot of people that are like, whatever. They just don't really care. They don't believe in it. They don't think about it.
Uh-huh.
You know,
definitely.
To actually go through the trouble to name yourself, I think it's because I came from a religious background, and my parents, well, my mom anyway, was really into it. And like my oldest brother's a minister, and I think the kind of family that would produce a minister is probably the same kind of family that would, you know, produce an atheist. But I think a lot of the other people in John's family, and I don't want to speak for them, but I don't think it was as big of a deal. Like, that John could go from being hardcore Christian to not being a Christian, and it wasn't like a major strain on the relationship. That's amazing to me.
Yeah.
Like, listen, honey, that whole thing about us spending the afterlife together, yeah, not going to happen, sorry. But, you know, I'm going to keep going to work and paying the bills. Oh, that's fine. That's cool.
I mean... Do you think you don't know if his wife was like a hardcore Christian or?
I assumed she was, and I know, I mean, she seemed to have the faith, but.
That can mean different things, though, too.
I think now we'll cross into a thing where I don't want to overshare. You guys should have him on. He'd be awesome.
The important thing is that you single-handedly converted him from his religion.
Yeah, that's the main point of this story. And that, what did you say his last name was? Just joking.
What's weird for me is I feel like I've always been an atheist pretty much my whole life, but I always feel like I almost feel guilty about it. So what could that mean? Like, I mean, I feel like when somebody says like, "Oh, God bless you," part of me wants to say like, "No, thank you," and explain to them that I don't need them to do that for me. But at the same time, I feel like it's almost rude to tell somebody you're an atheist.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, isn't that a strange thing? Like,
it is strange.
What's funny is where we are in the hierarchy, because if you know, at your workplace or whatever, say you're a Muslim, there's this sort of thing where they have to respect it. And they have to be like, "Oh, well, that's nice."
You know?
I'm a Buddhist. "Oh, really? Tell me about that." You know, "I'm an atheist." "What? Oh, there's no God." "Okay, yeah." You know, and it's just you get this attitude right away. And,
that's true.
I mean, I get a friendly sort of teasing at work all the time.
By the way, we should say that you work at a church.
Yes, I should mention that.
He's the minister of a church.
Exactly.
But no, at the day job, there's little, you know, jibes about, you know, "Oh, the atheist here." Like, "Oh, you can't have your Christmas bonus," that kind of stuff. And I'm like, okay, then you can't put a tree in your house and celebrate Yule, you asshole. That's so funny to me. I'm like, you have a tree in your house and a wreath on your... I mean, they kept all the accoutrements of Yule, just called it Christmas, and said, okay, now... It's kind of like what Elton John did with that song that he wrote for Marilyn Monroe, when he was like, no, same song, but now it's about Princess Diana. Right. You know, like, same holiday, but now it's about the baby Jesus.
Right, exactly.
I mean, doesn't Marilyn Monroe and the baby Jesus both deserve a little bit more respect than that?
You know what? We're not an atheist podcast. I bet we have a fair amount of atheist listeners, but in general, I mean, it's not like we are an atheist-themed podcast, so some of your Yule references may have gone over some people's heads, but I think those are interesting things that a lot of people probably don't know. So can you talk about some of the religions that have come before Christianity that have such ridiculous similar...
Well, there used to be this really wild one called Judaism. And they worshiped this woman named Judy. it's totally fascinating with Judaism because, you know, they had been promised this savior, and several people, lots of people actually, have shown up and said, oh, it's me. Hello, Jews. I'm your savior. And when this Jesus guy showed up and said that, they were like, no, you're not him. We're not saved.
Right.
And then he died, and they were like, yep, our troubles continue. We're not saved. And then some other people went, no, that was your savior. They're like, no, seriously, we're the Jews. We'll tell you when the Jewish savior comes, and that wasn't him. We're still screwed. And they were like, no, that was him. We're going to worship him. That was him. That was your savior. And so
the fact that Jews
aren't Christians is such a weird thing. Like, how does Christianity even exist when the very people that he was supposedly the king of are like, no, that's not him. He didn't save us. We're not saved. And they don't seem that saved. I mean, it seems like they still had it pretty shitty for a really long time, you know?
I don't know. They're starting to get more of that fucked up desert to live on.
Right. People that they most needed saved from are the people that worship the guy who supposedly saved them.
Right.
You know that they thought that God gave them that land before they realized that somewhere else in the world there was shade?
Jeffries makes a great point about there not being that much in the Bible about the other places in the world. He's like, if the Bible had just mentioned one flipping kangaroo, you know,
also
somewhere in Noah's Ark, it was like, and Noah had a hell of a time catching the hopping bits with the pouches in the front, you know, then it'd be like, oh my God, the Bible's real. We just found the hopping pouch. All this time we've been like, wow, the Bible's crazy. It's got these hopping pouchy bits. But, and then they're like, we found them. The Bible's real.
And did Noah go get polar bears to put on the ark also?
And penguins?
Right.
There should have been a chapter about that where he built ice shoes and trekked for 40 days.
Radio. Every Sunday when I sleep in, I am so happy that I'm not religious. Can you imagine having to wake up? Because remember when you were a kid and you would wake up and have to go to church on Sunday, and it was like the most miserable thing. Like, I remember church as being 3 or 4 hours long at least, and I'm pretty sure it was only like an hour, right?
And that's the thing I don't understand, because 90% of the people that I know that claim to be religious, they never go to church or do anything that the Bible says they're supposed to do, but yet they're the first ones to like tell everybody about how they would vote yes on Prop 8 because the Bible doesn't want gay people to get married.
God.
Which Bible doesn't say anything about at all.
But that's what's weird. Like, that's what I always ask them. I say, so you do all kinds of things that are sin, but now you think it's okay for you to vote against what other people are doing based on what your beliefs are, which are not based on anything. Like, there's no, that's what bothers me about religion is if everybody just thought what they thought and left it at that, that would be fine by me. But I don't like that people now vote based on a book, based on a tale that there's no proof ever really happened.
Well, that's, you know what I mean? I almost have more respect for like more of a fundamentalist Christian, or, you know, even someone like, you know, I mentioned that my brother's a minister. He's a Christian anarchist. Sort of like vow of poverty, you know. I mean, he lives it like in everything he does. And, you know, even if sometimes I can find that a little crazy or whatever, I have a lot more respect for it than someone that's, I'm a Christian in concern to your rights and what you do, but it doesn't really affect me yeah. otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the hypocrisy.
I mean, Jesus said, get rid of all your shit and just walk around preaching.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
I don't see many Christians doing that.
It's funny that the Christian values, don't mirror what's in the Bible at all. They just kind of go along with what most of society's values are.
Clearly pick and choose. It's like how...
slavery, they used to argue, was condoned in the Bible, and you know what? They were right.
Yeah, absolutely it was.
It gives you some specifics about how to conduct it,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You can, like, there's one passage where it's okay to beat your slave as long as he doesn't die until 2 days go by. Like, real specific stuff.
And also, they talk about specifically about buying and trading slaves who are foreign to the land.
Yeah, and how long you can keep them, and you are required to give your female slaves sex.
Yeah, and these are the word of God.
It sounds awesome.
And it also seems bizarre. And it's not even that's weird to me that God would allow slavery. That's weird. But what's weirder is that God all the parts where God gets into specific details, like, well, okay, hang on. Like, I just can't imagine.
It's got to be three goats.
Exactly. I can't imagine God coming up
with... Oh,
yeah,
that God wanted animal sacrifice, too. That's hilarious.
The smell of the blood pleased him.
It really feels like God was playing The Sims or, like, setting up a model train set or, you know, like... When you first set up your model train set, it's going to look like shit, you know?
Right.
But you're going to, like, pull some things out, put others in. You're going to get it right. You're going to refine it, you know? They say that, you know, where do you get your morality from if it's not from the Bible? And I'm like, where the hell do you get yours from?
no kidding.
Most Christians subscribe to a modern morality that doesn't have a lot in common with what they find in the Bible at all.
Of course
not.
Well,
most Christians never open a Bible. I mean... The ones who become atheists are the ones who took their religion seriously.
That's exactly true.
But that's
why
what I say about me and my brother. I'm like, if you take it real seriously, you're either going to become like a minister or an atheist.
Right.
But okay.
Most people aren't going to do neither, though. They're just going to say they are what their parents were. They're going to go to church, and they're going to, you know, hold on to the cute and fuzzy bits about it while they, you know, get on with the business of making money.
Can I get into this? Because this fascinates me that you are... an atheist comedian, and your brother is a hardcore fundamental Christian minister.
Well, that's the thing, like, because he's not a fundy. He's a Christian anarchist. I mean, we're very similar politically.
But he's still do you get along with your brother? I mean,
is your
brother a big part of your life? Do you see how do you guys live?
Well, he lives down in Long Beach, but we talk a lot, and I see him whenever I can. Whenever I go down there for a gig, I'll actually go stay with him.
Can I ask you some questions about this? Because my sister is a quote-unquote Christian, but it kind of drives me crazy because I think of my sister as a smart, rational, you know, the type of person who I would – if I had kids and I died, I would want her raising them. You know what I mean? Like, she's
right.
Very – she makes the right choice in almost every situation. She's that type of person, you know, like the person that I would want to speak in my proxy. But she believes in God, or at least claims to believe in God. And every time anything semi-religious comes up when we're around each other, I'm so tempted to just have it out with her, like really have it out, because I think deep down in her, like,
you mean to punch her.
Yeah, you actually have to kill her.
I want to just really, like, because I believe that if she were to admit to herself, I think she's always sort of the really good girl her whole life. And I think that
deep down, she's a bad girl.
I used to actually get paid. I'm going to totally change the subject for a minute. I used to get paid like $50 to get up at like 4 a.m. and call the Man Cow Show. and to be stupid characters that they would come up with for me.
Really?
Yeah. And then after September 11th, I came up with one of my own because I wanted to see if I could take Mancow's like idiocy to its logical extreme and make him argue against it.
Right.
So I called in and said I thought that Arabs should be put in internment camps. And I had to really force myself to think like a racist. So I even came up with stuff like when he talked about Japanese internment, I said, well, it's easy to speak against it now, but it worked, didn't it? You know, just horrible, horrible things.
My mom's going to find that offensive, by the way, but go ahead.
I'm yelling these things into the phone, like, you know, wee hours in the morning, and thinking, oh my God, how do I explain this to my neighbors?
Wait,
because it sounds like a likely story. I was on a radio show pretending to be a Nazi. I actually did a lot of good. They got an Arab girl on the radio, which they never would have done on an asshole show like Man Cow, and talked about world peace. And yeah, but all my neighbors know is I was in there screaming about how interning people is a great idea. Let me take a step back to a quick. I want to touch on the whole like atheist comedian thing,
right?
Because it's a weird thing. It's like it became sort of my title within the Coexist Comedy Tour, because I was the atheist comedian on the tour. There was also a Buddhist comedian and a Hindu comedian. I don't think any of those guys are walking around with those titles still. Like, but atheist comedian, because there's a big you used the term earlier, atheist community. Because there is an atheist community now, that title sort of stuck, and I love it because I get really good gigs. But it's also weird because it's like there's atheists who are just people who don't believe in God, and then there's atheists who go to meetings.
Yeah, I know.
And I was never a go to meeting kind of guy, but the go to meeting kind of people are the ones that are booking me and supporting me and really into what I'm doing. So I've sort of, I guess, learned to become a part of the atheist community.
But you know, that's why I was a little, I don't want to say nervous, but like.
My first CD has an hour of material, and I never mentioned my atheism once. And then I reluctantly put a few tracks of it on the second CD. I just say reluctantly because I'm kind of exhausted of the material, because I end up doing it a lot at those gigs. And I do want to sort of show the other side of what I have, you know what I mean?
Right.
At the same time, the material means a lot to me, and I was proud of it, so I did want to have it on there. But so yeah, so it's kind of weird, like the atheist comedian. It's like, well, yeah, sort of. I am.
It is weird because you do see that everywhere, but I've seen you do stand up like 8 times, and I've only heard you do like religious stuff like once, I think.
Yeah.
But, so it's funny because I don't think of you as the atheist comedian, but like when you find videos of yours on YouTube and different things like that, it's always like atheist comedian.
And it's an awesome branding thing and an awesome marketing thing, and it's like, I don't feel like a sellout marketing with that because it's real. It's very sincere. It just, it happens to be the one part of what I do that's very marketable, but it is just one part. You know what I mean?
What I'm doing now, which I think is pretty marketable, is I act like I'm a Christian comedian, and I just do like 45.
I thought about that.
I just do like 45 minutes about how children are precious.
A tight 45.
I believe they're the future. I think you just have to teach them well, you know, and let them lead.
I cannot imagine a Christian comedian making me laugh talking about Christianity. Like,
okay,
Noah was a nutcase.
Would you rather?
Well,
Chris,
Bill Cosby did it, and that was like the only.
Cosby was awesome.
Yeah,
when
Chris, would you rather?
What?
Go to watch a Christian comedian for 45 minutes in a small room.
And what else?
Or go to a Christian concert.
I thought you were going to say, or lick my butt.
Or go to a Christian concert, like a hardcore Christian band.
Can I just lick your butt?
No, yeah, really.
What is that? Like, why, since gospel, has the church not been able to get any good music going?
I'm
going to
explain it to you. The reason why adults who are still Christians and also want to be rock stars don't make good music is because they're fucking stupid.
Ah,
if you add up all of those things, you're an adult, but you want to be a rock star and a Christian, you're fucking stupid, and you're never going to make good music. That's just the cold, hard fact of it all.
Well, I just heard the news today. It seems my life is going to change. I close my eyes, begin to pray, then tears of joy stream down my face.
We haven't even really talked about stand-up, really.
Yeah, we should talk about my CD and how people should buy it.
Well, actually, Keith, I wanted to tell you a story, a true story, that you were involved in my Valentine's Day.
Ben, I'm sorry, Valentine's Day.
Valentine's, excuse me. So anyways, yesterday, when was Valentine's? Was that yesterday?
Yesterday was Valentine's. Yeah,
that's right. Yesterday morning.
Did you have a Valentine, Ben?
I did. My wife. Okay. So anyways, when I woke up in the morning, we exchanged our cards and our gifts, because that's what we do, because we love each other. So she hands me this bag for my Valentine's gift, and I open it up, and there's a DVD in there. Hey, Keith, what DVD do you think it was?
You got my DVD for Valentine's Day?
She got me Why Lie, I Need a Drink, a documentary that you were in. Well, I guess you made it, right?
Oh, my God, Ben, I'm so sorry.
No, it was good.
It is romantic because there's a couple in there that live on the streets and shoot heroin together.
Yeah, I cried because it reminded me of our younger days.
What was the I don't know the documentary. Or, I mean, Ben sent me some links to you that I've been watching, but I just saw the link for that documentary. What's it about?
Why don't you just kind of tell how you got the idea for that?
Whenever I give panhandlers a buck, I'd always hear that same line. Oh, those guys probably make more money than you do. And finally, it just got to be too much for me. I was like, if that's true, then why the hell am I working? So I went to find out how much they really make. Or to put it more, I don't know, succinctly, I explored the myth of the affluent panhandler. But I went out and panhandled. But I was kind of self-conscious about it, so I did it in a banana costume at first. And then, just because
you don't want to draw attention to yourself.
This is the weird, random, true story. I just happened to have a banana costume lying around, and I totally don't know why that's true. I have no good reason to have a banana costume. I saw one once and could not resist buying it, and so I bought it. It wasn't cheap either. So anyway, it ended up coming in handy for this film. And then later I dressed up like a mime and my sign didn't say anything on it. But eventually I went out and panhandled to see how hard it would be to actually make a good living at it. And apparently it would be really freaking hard unless you're better than me, which there are people that are, but they're few and far between.
What did your sign say when you were holding the banana?
Oh, a lot of different things. I'm a banana, give me money, God bless, was my favorite. Every sign said God bless on them. I had a sign that said, "Can Big Bill's okay, can make change."
That's not bad.
I had a sign that Rob Cockeram of cockeyed.com suggested, which said, last panhandler for 2 miles.
That's pretty good. If I had a banana costume, I'd say, peel me off a buck. Did you guys hear me? I said, peel me off a buck.
We got it.
You know, like people carry like
I didn't think it was funny.
Like a money clip.
My wife laughed.
Thank you.
My it really worries one. Me because I test my jokes on her before I do them on stage. That ends tonight.
My favorite part, though, is when that lady gave you a dollar and she said the only reason why she did it was because your sign said God bless.
And wow. She didn't even know that my socks said I love Jesus on them.
Or that you're an atheist comedian.
Right. That's funny. That's the only... It's funny because that's such a horrible, horrible thing to say to a human being.
Right.
Like, she can't just give you the dollar without shaming you. You know what I mean? Right. So the dollar's not going to affect her one way or the other. I'm not saying everyone should give money to panhandlers, but that dollar's not going to affect her one way or the other. But when she gives you that dollar, she can't just give it to you. She has to say, look, the only reason I'm giving you this is because your sign says God bless. Not because you are, struggling to eat or whatever the case might be. But the only reason is because your sign says God bless, which, of course, God would condone. That's what he preaches.
Shouldn't the person without the God bless sign get more of her sympathy? Like, she's like, well, at least he's got Jesus. He'll be okay.
Well, that's point. Like, God wants you to give money, give whatever you can to whoever you can.
Go feed the heathens in Africa. I hear they got some there.
Homeless people shouldn't be the best advertisement for God.
I did go, I did also go panhandle outside of a church with a sign that did say atheist on it, will convert for food or money. And then the God bless in that case had a question mark on it.
God bless?
Yeah. So that was fun.
My favorite one, though, was when you were outside of the post office.
Right, and the post. God, I'm such an idiot. Like, she was just trying to kick me off, telling me it was private property, and I was telling her it was federal property. I coined the phrase federalness.
Yeah,
I don't know what
how you said that you deserve to be there because you pay your taxes, and since it was federal land. And I was thinking, how do you pay taxes on your panhandled money?
No, I claim every cent. I claim every cent I make as a panhandler. I'm very honest about it.
Where do you even get like a W-2 if you're a homeless guy?
And what do you put as your office occupation? Begging?
Sure. Seriously.
But no, I think my favorite sign was lost all my money to Herbalife. Ask me how.
That's pretty clever.
Shoddy Radio.
Are you a fan of Shoddy Radio? Become one on Facebook. Do you have a question or comment for the guys? Email them at shoddyradio@gmail.com or call at 774-633-9669. That's 7-SHODDY now.
My question earlier was going to be, do you have the urge to talk religion with your brother? Do you think that he fully believes, like, if, do you think he's being, not, I don't want to say stubborn, but sort of refusing to really think about it open-mindedly?
He has Christian tattoos and he doesn't have a lot of money. So if he were to convert or deconvert, what would he, you know, I mean, he didn't have money to change those tattoos.
You just act like they're ironic.
What are the tattoos? I'm curious.
He actually has a big black band around his forearm. It's almost solid black. And then there's like, you know, there'll be an Ankh type. I guess it's a cross. And you know, there'll be a little bit of negative space around it. So it'll be like a break in the big black band. Okay, you guys, as long as we're talking about my brother, can I also tell you that he's an abstract minimalist painter, folk singer, and he was a mixed martial arts fighter who actually fought Dan Severn.
Wow.
In the cage.
Wow.
That's crazy.
I'm not the weird one in my family. Well, no matter how hard I try, you know, I'll always come in second.
What's his Skype name?
You're obviously not going to convert your brother through brute force.
No, right. Absolutely. Yeah.
But can I ask that question? Do you think?
No, we did. We debated for a long time.
I don't mean are you going to try to convert him? That's not my question. My question is, do you believe that he is being honest with himself when he says he believes in?
That's a hard one. That's a really difficult one because we all have our own personal bias where it's really, really hard. I don't understand how people, intelligent people, can be conservative. And I know that there are intelligent conservatives. I know there's not funny conservatives, but there are intelligent conservatives out there.
Right.
I've met them, and I don't understand how that works. They say things to me that I'm like, wow, you're too smart to really believe what you just said.
Yeah.
And I have that same sort of thing with Christians. My brother's very bright. He's very studied. And I honestly don't understand how he's a Christian. It's baffling to me, but I don't understand how anyone intelligent is a Christian. I do believe he's sincere. I believe he's dedicated way too much of his time and life to it not to be. You know, and the kind of like what you were saying with your sister, my brother's my hero when it comes to parenting. Like, yeah. I mean, now that I have a kid, he was the first person I wrote and said, well, what advice do you have? And I told him when I asked him that, I said, you don't have to censor yourself. You can tell me the religious advice as well.
Right.
That's probably just not going to help me a lot. You
know? He's like, well, get him baptized.
So, you know, he's a really neat guy and a really intelligent guy. And if I'm really honest, I have to say that yes, it is confusing to me that someone smart can be religious because it doesn't seem like a very intelligent viewpoint to me. I know that he is intelligent, but I don't. Yeah, there is a weird. And then people use words like cognitive dissonance and, you know, talk about that sort of emotional disconnect or break that you do between your emotion and your intellect.
Right.
But
well, that would.
Christians that are very studied and seem very intellectual. So
I guess my question is, even though like I think my sister is sincere when she says she believes in God, like I don't think she's consciously lying to me. I don't think she's trying hard to believe in God. I think she believes. But what I think is that if you put her under like into like a brain scanner that could measure like what part of her brain is working and whether or not just if you get, if you fed her truth serum and could somehow
you'd
actually
find that cognitive dissonance,
you would and if you read her a bunch of religious doctrine and things like that, it would come out that she didn't fully believe in everything and that there was some type of sort of fear or like something from the past. Yeah, exactly.
There's so much brainwashing technique and strategy in both the Bible and in the way the church operates. The question that you asked me, it's an interesting question because it's about my brother. My brother is an extremely unusual case. If you asked me that same question about almost any other Christian I've ever met, the answer would have been very different. It would have been no. I don't think that deep down they really believe it. And I think that once they are forced to take as much time as John Ross took to really think about it and examine it, I think that any one of them honestly reading a simple Sam Harris book, and some people say, oh, he doesn't go deep enough or he's too simple. No, that's why I love it. It should be simple. It's a simple argument. If any one of them read a very simple Sam Harris book, I think they would start to have cracks in their faith.
Right.
I have Christians always come on and go, no, I have proof. I have proof that there's God. I'm like, well, what is it? State it simply, and I'll give it credence. And, oh, no, you have to read this book. Give me one thing from the book, and if it shakes me up, I'm going to go read the book. You know, otherwise my reading list is too long because there's a million of these guys every day.
Yeah.
And they never can give me that one example, that one thing that's going to shake up my faith. I always tell them then, I'll make you a deal. If you read Letter to a Christian Nation by Sam Harris, I will read your book. And then let's get back together. I mean, on YouTube is mostly where I go to fight with people. Let's get back together and compare.
That's a great strategy.
Not a single one has taken me up on it.
Yeah.
And I always hammer them with, dude, this is my salvation. I mean, if I read that book, I'd be a Christian. I'd go to heaven. This is my salvation. And you're not willing to read a little tiny pamphlet sized book.
Right.
How dare you?
You talk about that one bit of faith or that one thing that you need, like just one argument that they could bring up that would convince you. And I think I actually have seen it. It's a bumper sticker. It says, God is real.
God said it. I believed it. That settles it.
God is real. Read the Bible. No, Jesus is Lord. Read the Bible.
The Big Bang. God said it. Bang, it happened. That was a real bumper sticker that was on the bumper of a kid that I worked with at Petco.
I see so many Jesus is God, read the Bible, or Jesus es Dios, lee la Biblia.
I see Calvin praying in front of the cross, probably asking forgiveness for all the things he peed on. And that one bothers me so much because I'm a huge Calvin and Hobbes fan and Bill Waters very atheistic sentiments over and over again.
I can imagine him going to bed every night just having this long-ass list of shit he peed on that he has to beg forgiveness for.
Dear God, sorry for what I did to the Raiders. Sorry for what I did to La Migra.
Sorry for what I did to Ford and Chevy.
Right. I'm waiting for the one that's Calvin peeing on the Darwin fish. I'm sure it's out there somewhere.
It's slowly turning into like a snake eating its own tail too, because I've seen one of Calvin peeing on like some other thing too. It's like one of those Russian dolls where they keep getting smaller, like a never-ending mirror. Right. You talked about something earlier that I thought was really interesting, which was being a character on Man Cow.
Yeah.
Can we talk more about that? Now,
sure.
did you only play one character?
No, it was the weirdest gig. My friend Brett. Brett's a pretty. I have a lot of interesting people in my life. If you look up, I think it's lizardboyzoo.com, or it might be MrLizard.com now. But anyway, my friend Brett is a children's entertainer, and he has a mobile zoo. He shows up at schools with all these reptiles.
Okay,
just unloads out of the back of his Outback or Prius or something. I don't remember what he drives. So, you know, he was in LA trying to do the actor thing and he got this gig, and then he said, oh, I know this guy that'll do all kinds of voices. And they called me, and oh, they were horrible. Like Mad Dad.
Okay.
Where I was a dad who was sending his son to school with a gun in his backpack every day.
Were these their characters, or did they tell you what to play? Or did
I only ever came up with two.
Okay.
I pitched two that they accepted, and one was the guy who wanted Arabs put in internment camps.
Okay.
And the other was Mad Dad, who was a guy who mine was always, I would listen to the things that Mancal said and then try to take it to
his
position, but to its logical extreme and see how far in the other direction I could make him go, which is funny because he'd go really far in the other direction. He would start really sounding like a liberal, like, which was hilarious, you know? So I called him as Mad Dad and I said, yeah, I'm putting a gun in my son's backpack every day and he knows how to use it and he's a good shot. And I got to say really offensive stuff. Like I got to complain about the kids at Columbine. I said, do you know how many times they actually hit their target compared to how much ammunition they went through? Those kids were shitty shots. Their father never took them to the firing range. Like they were horrible, inexcusable. If my son missed that much of the time, he would be in deep shit, you know? Like they were like, you know, well, how do you know that your kid isn't going to be the one shooting everyone? And you know, I was like, oh, it was horrible. It was really, I was just a really terrible person, and got him to argue against it.
Would they come up with the sort of angles that they wanted you to take, or they would come up with the characters? They would call you in the morning.
Well, like I said, those two times I came up with a character. Every other time they came up with a character. But
how did it work?
Here's the first character I ever played. The first character that I ever played was a guy writing a children's book about anal hygiene, suggesting that you clean your anus every day with a toothbrush.
So
that's not terrible advice.
I won't even clean my mouth with a toothbrush every day.
It's just so stupid. You know, I was like, really? That's okay, great. And then I actually got on the Howard Stern show once, and I was Bestiality Ben. Sorry, Ben. And Bestiality Ben.
Sorry for stealing my idea.
For Bestiality, and was now out on parole, was feeling like he couldn't resist the neighbor's dog, and really thought that he could breed a human canine hybrid. And so they would give me that, but then I would spend, and I doubt anyone else who got their, you know, 50 or 60 bucks did this much research. I would really want to do the roles well. So I looked up citizen scientists, and there's a lot of people like the whole Jenny McCarthy crowd that, you know, thinks that autism is caused by vaccines.
Right.
They call themselves citizen scientists, and they, which basically means someone who wants to be a scientist without actually studying science or scientific method. And so I really like got into that part of it. So even though it was a really stupid premise, I had a lot of fun playing this kind of like idiot citizen scientist type person who thought he could make a compelling argument that humans and dogs could interbreed.
And now, would you call in only as that guy once? Was that a recurring character, or would that just be one time that you would call as him?
Stern said at the end of that interview that he wanted to have me back again.
Wow.
And then never did.
Wait.
And so I was real excited. I was hoping I'd go back on, because like I said, I was only on Stern the once.
Did Stern...
I was on Mancal's show a bunch of times and never as a repeat character. It was always time shot.
When you called Stern, they commissioned you also, or you were,
yes.
Wow, I never knew that Stern commissioned calls.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I talked about this on a show called Invisible Ink that played on a public radio station in San Francisco.
That's crazy.
And I was hoping that it would come back to me, that they would, you know, somebody would go, hey, are you really using setup fake calls to either Mancow or Stern?
Uh-huh.
It didn't.
Wow, that's crazy. Obviously, we're all huge Mancow fans, but you might find this surprising. I listen to Stern sometimes,
yeah,
from time to time when Mancow is on vacation or something. So I didn't even cross my mind that they would do fake calls. Like I wasn't surprised at all to hear Mancow did fake calls, but Stern, that surprises me a little bit.
Every single experience I've had with anything that you could put the word reality in front of, reality radio, reality TV, reality anything, has always been complete bullshit. Wow. I did a show called Morality or Moral Court.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you guys remember. It was like 5 or 6 years ago that it was on.
I remember that show.
I went on with my friend Patrick, and we were suing each other over a Partridge Family record. And they came up afterwards, and they were like, you know, for the closing interview, they were like, oh, so what'd you think of the judgment? I told them exactly what I thought of the judgment. And then she said, oh, we're going to have to take that over. They want you to say that you didn't like the judgment. Oh,
you know,
okay.
What? I've seen that episode.
The case you're about to hear is real.
Really?
Yeah, I really have.
Well, yeah, my hair is really greasy, and I honestly didn't wash my hair for a week and a half getting ready for that.
I don't remember anybody's hair. Time. I just remember that show, and I remember there was one about a Partridge Family record.
That's so funny. That's super interesting, the man cow thing. I don't know why that blows my mind, because I've been a sort of talk radio junkie my entire life, which is kind of – I mean, I think all three of Chris, Ben, and I have been, and I think that's sort of why we started pretending that we were on the radio with this.
That's funny, because I've always hated it.
Oh, man, I love talk radio. If you have enough shitty jobs, it's the only thing that gets you through them.
I've never considered myself a voice person. So there were things like I would just make sure I was eating the whole time that I did one. Like, for one, I was like, this will be the guy eating something voice. And then
that's kind of good.
When I did the guy whose wife had three abortions, I had the worst cold ever. So they thought I was crying the whole time. And they honestly, like, the dude that books it was like, oh man, they loved you. They said you were sobbing. And I was like, no, I just had a really bad cold, but cool. So I got credit for that one. So if you want to win an Academy Award, the secret to just go make out with prostitutes until you get something nasty.
Well, I think we got at least an hour here. So we'll let you go. I know we don't want to keep you for too long, but thank you for coming on, Keith.
Man, no one even asked me about Robin Williams.
Oh, hang on.
I'm really disappointed.
Wait, let me ask you. Okay, what about Robin Williams?
I think he's pretty funny, don't you guys think?
Chris, can you do a Robin Williams impersonation?
Oh, no, I could.
That was really good. Our thanks again to Keith Lowell Jensen, and you can find Keith at atheistcomedian.com or rockass.net.